This is Project Shadow.
Get in, quick. Here, help me get this in front of the door. Okay. That should keep them for a while. Sorry about the confusion. Yes, this is Project Shadow. I am your host, Kevin, and I know things are a little bit different than usual. You see, once a year, I tend to overindulge in the zombie subgenre, watching movies, playing games, etc., and so Zombiethon was formed. As I record this, I'm right in the middle of this year's Zombiethon, so this will be a big old zombie episode. In our game section, we're going to have a quick look at some of the zombie-esque games on the market. In our media section, we're going to be taking a look at the movie Plain Dead, which relocates the zombie movies and puts it nicely on a jumbo jet. And in our focus file, surprise, we're going to have a zombie. For now, though, open a box of corned beef and some baked beans whilst I get on with the news.
Whispers.
Okay, we've got a whopping 3 items to look at for our news this week. Firstly, and because this is our zombie episode, I recently was pointed in the direction of something quite interesting on the internet. How good it's going to turn out to be is another matter entirely. But we're looking at a zombie Holocaust MMORPG. Called Exanimus. Now, this has been posted on the internet for quite a while. They've got a website with some decent information on it and some reasonably good game concept art, but so far nothing hard that I can see on the game as yet. However, it looks interesting, worth keeping an eye on, as it's going to allow you to play either as survivors, maybe trying to hold the place together in a city or out in the countryside, or you can play as the zombies and try and tear down those walls, so to speak. It looks like it's got a few good ideas. How it turns out is going to be another matter. But I have to admit, if this comes through, this could finally be the game that gets me trying massively multiplayer online role-playing games. So far, other than the turn-based Urban Dead, I've not really touched any of them. But it looks like it could be interesting if it all comes off. If you want to check it out, head on over to www.exanimus.com. That's Exanimus, exanimusthegame.com. Secondly, Chaosium, publishers of the Call of Cthulhu games and the basic role-playing system, are having a Halloween competition. Now, the idea is pretty simple. They want you to submit an adventure, either for Call of Cthulhu or for the basic role-playing system, which is pretty much the same system, and they want a scary little adventure set around Halloween. Now, the prizes are pretty much unspecified at this time, other than the fact you're going to win some Chaosium goodies. So, if you're interested, if you have a Halloween adventure knocking around, and what horror GM doesn't, head on over to www.chaosium.com for the details and see what you can do. Finally, not directly horror, but most of the games that are attached to this, most of the settings attached to this are definitely horror. Savage Worlds. If you don't know Savage Worlds, it's the multi-genre system put out by Pinnacle Games, who were responsible for Deadlands, of course. As a multi-genre game, it's pretty good, and most of the world's releases for it so far have been horror-based. Up until now, it's been a big old rulebook, especially for the referees. Now, they've released an Explorer's Edition, a smaller, softback version of the revised rules that's going to be retailing at $9.99. So what that will turn into in UK money or anywhere else is anyone's guess at the moment, but it does mean it's going to be much easier for people to have their own copies of the rules. And games like Necessary Evil, games like Rippers, all these little games that they've been putting out for it are pretty good horror games, are pretty good conspiracy games. So it's well worth a look. I ran a bit of the Necessary Evil campaign a year or two ago. Now, it's not horror, Technically, it's supers, but it's super villains, and it also includes quite a lot of decent conspiracy ideas. So, Savage Worlds is one of the better multi-genre games I've come across, so it's probably worth checking out. You can try and get it from smithandrobard.com, which is Pinnacle and Great White Games' online store. But also, of course, and I would rather you did it this way, to be honest, you can get it from your friendly local game shop. So, that's the news this week. One zombie MMORPG, the Call of Cthulhu VRP Halloween game competition, and the release of the Savage Worlds Explorers Edition.
Gaming.
Zombies have been pretty much a constant feature in the modern hobby games market. Most fantasy and horror RPGs have zombies of some nature, and whilst they've never been quite as popular in board games, they have been cropping up everywhere in recent years. In the role-playing end of the market, the biggest player is undoubtedly Eden Studios' All Flesh Must Be Eaten. It's an entire game system devoted to zombies. It uses Eden's excellent Uni system as its core rules mechanic. This offers GMs and players quite some variety in how they're going to run things. The biggest factor in terms of variety, certainly for a zombie game, is the nature of the zombies. Eden haven't turned round and said, "This is a zombie." What they have done is included a vast range, and I mean vast, range of plug-in options for the game's masters to use when creating their zombie horde. This makes it an easy matter to customize them for whatever campaign setting you have in mind. I've used All Flesh Must Be Eaten twice in the past, once for a beer and pizza Resident Evil inspired game, and the second time for a much longer campaign set in the Crusades. On both occasions, the system rose to the task admirably, and it was very easy to make the zombies do exactly what I needed for each game. The other strength of All Flesh is that, as it's a Unisystem game, it's a relatively easy matter to plug it into other Eden games. In particular, I'm thinking about the Buffy RPG and the Army of Darkness game, both of which would benefit heavily from being able to use the All Flesh style of zombies in them. Moving on to board games, the most notable in recent years would undoubtedly be the Zombies game. That's Zombies with three exclamation marks afterwards. Published originally by Journeyman Press, and then later by Twilight Creations. It's a game of simple mechanics, lots of luck, and a little strategy. Each turn a new tile is laid, which adds to the map, which grows until the helipad appears, which is the player's way out of the city. The problem is, of course, every time you put down a tile, you put down zombies too, which makes life that little bit more difficult. Each player controls a survivor, and also gets to move some of the zombies each turn, so there's always something to do, and the game often cycles from being semi-cooperative in the beginning, through to being extremely competitive towards the end. Special event cards help the game along, but its simplicity and fast pace is what really makes it popular. And I have known it to be popular both with regular and casual gamers alike. So it's a very versatile little game on that front. Whilst we talk about zombie games, it's probably worth mentioning cheap-ass games. If you haven't heard of these, where have you been? Cheap-ass manufacture bare-bones board and card games, containing only the basics. Some of their greatest games feature a group of zombies, who have drifted into the natural career for such fiends. Fast food services. Working for a burger chain known as Fridays. The games include things like Give Me the Brain, Lord of the Fries, and The Great Brain Robbery. All the games are pretty much fun, easy to play, and wonderfully tongue-in-cheek. And for bargain basement prices, they are well worth a look. Of course, there are many more zombie-themed games out there. Notably horror games like Mall of America, and sillier games like Twilight Creations All Wound Up, which comes with a set of clockwork zombie toys that you play the game with. Now, the good news is, there are actually a couple of free zombie games out there on the World Wide Web. First is Zombie Plague, which is a zombie miniature combat slash board game. Although I haven't had a chance to play it yet, it does come highly recommended. And it's free to download, so you can check that out at www.fortressfigures.com/zombieplague, no spaces of course. It's a pretty neat looking little game, the mechanics look fairly solid, and it does look like it's going to be a nice fun game for a couple of people to play together. The second freebie I was able to track down is perhaps a little bit more interesting to some. You see, once upon a time, the games company known as SPI manufactured a Dawn of the Dead board game. It looks, however, like the copyright on that game has lapsed, and some bright spark has recreated it as a series of free downloads. It has some similarities to the likes of Mall of America and Zombies, and when last I checked, which was 5 minutes ago, you could even download a PDF file to make your own box so it can sit nicely on your game shelf. Again, if you want to take a look at this, head over to witchmastercreations.com/dawn.php, where of course you can download it. The file sizes are reasonably big, but that just means you'll end up with a good looking game in the end when you print it all out. So, with a look at some of the more notable zombie games on the market, and a couple of free games for you to download, that concludes our quick roundup of zombie games.
Media.
Okay, time for the media section. It was a bit of a toss-up for this one, because I've been watching a lot of zombie movies, as I said. I wasn't sure whether I wanted to go for a classic and look at that, or go for a newer one. In the end, I decided to plump for the newer one, and that still left me with some choices. Choices were Plane Dead, Zombies on a Plane, or Boy Eats Girl, an Irish romantic zombie comedy. In the end, I decided to plump for Plane Dead, although that doesn't mean I won't look at the other one at a later date, because they're both quite interesting films in their own way, and both very different. Through games and movies, zombies have been found in many places. We've seen zombies in police stations, malls, mansions, schools, and myriad other locations. In the wake of Snakes on a Plane, it did seem only a matter of time before somebody stuck zombies up there as well. And indeed, yes, now we have zombies flying coach, because you just know that when a group of scientists with a special cargo and an armed guard get on a flight from the USA to Paris, that all hell, or at least a little part of it, is going to get loose. Then you discover how unlikable most of the passengers are. And you know this thing is going to end badly. Heck, there's even a nun on board. You know, there are fewer bad omens that you're on the wrong flight when you start getting on a plane with a clergy. Once in the air, the flight crew, which seems smaller than in most airborne disaster movies actually, have to take the plane through some bad weather, which, of course, causes an accident which releases the cargo. Now, the cargo in question turns out to be the wife of one of the scientists. Dead, but reanimated by the wonders of modern/mad science, and mosquitoes. However, the trigger-happy guard not only kills this living, breathing human, but manages to shoot out a communication circuit as well, leaving the plane alone in the skies with no way to tell anyone below what is happening. And, of course, once the reanimated woman is shot, well, dead things start to happen. First to the guard, then to the others. First one or two fall, of course, and then, as it's zombies, the avalanche will eventually come. Throw into this mix a cop transferring a prisoner to France, a lecherous air marshal, a Pro 2 golf star, some horny teenagers, mad scientists, a captain on his last flight, and of course the aforementioned nun, and you have a recipe for disaster. Now, the movie itself is a little shonky. Shonky will do. The acting isn't great. The effects are a little shoddy. But once upon a time, that's what zombie movies were all about anyway. Night of the Living Dead barely had any professional actors, and a cast that was basically just overacting for much of the film. And, to be fair, that's what you get here. Now, in gaming terms, what can you use? Well, the zombies and the zombie virus are going to be your main booty in this film. The virus is said to be derived from a disease borne by a Vietnamese mosquito. The disease quickly kills the victim, and then briefly reanimates them, just for a few seconds. A few years of bioengineering, however, and you have a virus that can successfully restore life. But if that life is then terminated, or becomes otherwise unsustainable, it seems that what you then get is a zombie. Now, these zombies are pretty mobile, capable of climbing, using air ducts, etc. They also have a tendency to drag their prey off somewhere quiet to eat. So they're a little bit more menacing, a little bit less predictable than your average shambler. Though, thankfully, not quite as nippy as the rage-infected victims of 28 Days Later. The rationale is surprisingly useful, and the fact that the virus actually works until someone does something stupid is a nice twist. The zombies in this are capable of limited problem solving, and that's quite cool. Although they do have problems with things like airline seatbelts, which provides a rather amusing running gag through the second act of the film. Other than the zombies, there's not a great deal to recommend in the film for gaming purposes. Other than the gratuitous use of nuns, of course. The characters are little more than coarse stereotypes, and the setting itself is pretty restrictive, really. Probably too restrictive, really, for a decent zombie film. As entertainment, it's okay. Yeah, just okay, I would say. Thankfully, it doesn't take itself seriously. It plays well enough within its limits and its budgetary constraints. One standout in the movie is Kevin J. O'Connor. The name might not ring a bell, but you will likely recall his performance as Benny in The Mummy. He doesn't quite lift the film, but he does have a great line in Weasley Underworld Types that makes him very good fun to watch throughout the movie. Sure, it is a pretty lousy film, but it's good fun in places. A definite beer and pretzels movie. Now, because I found it fun, I'm actually going to mark this one straight down the middle, and I'm going to give it 5 out of 10. But in terms of production quality, that's probably just a little bit generous. So, for fun alone, 5 out of 10. That is Plain Dead, directed by Scott Thomas. No real big stars, but like I say, a decent performance by Kevin J. O'Connor. Again, it's one of those videos that's probably worth just renting out on DVD, not really going for the buy on it. But it'll be good fun, nevertheless.
Focus fail.
Okay, now, zombie viruses, or maybe is it viri? I don't know. Viri? Zombie viruses are pretty common in horror. Humans returning from the dead have always been pretty scary. However, before zombies made it big, skeletons were pretty popular. And pretty scary in their own way. I mean, let's face it, they still turn up at Halloween and that kind of thing, but they've not had much of a place in modern horror, really, which is a bit of a shame. I know Dark Conspiracy tried to shoehorn them in, using animator spirits and that kind of thing, but they didn't really quite cut it as skeletons. However, if you play the zombie game and you play the skeleton game at the same time, can come up with something a little different. What I've come up with here, I want to tell you about today, is a little idea called a skeletal. Now, the virus that causes skeletals originated in the Pacific Islands, a rare skin disease which was passed through cannibalism. It caused originally a breakdown of skin pigments in the victims, as well as several bodily functions, which led to death. The virus that causes the death actually lives in symbiosis with a second virus, which subsequently reanimates the corpse, as well as the lower brain functions, creating a zombie with the usual desire to feed on any live food they can get their hands on, or their teeth on. As the zombie ages, the skin slowly becomes translucent, as do the internal organs. And if this zombie is left in an environment for long enough with no food, everything except for bone and cartilage becomes translucent. Now, at first glance, this body would appear to be nothing more than a skeleton. When left in such an environment, the organism and the virus go into a hibernative state until something like a sound or a smell triggers it awake. It is in this way that the virus spreads itself. The island was visited often in the Age of Sail, and occasionally there would be an outbreak aboard a ship, and with the crew dead, The zombies would hibernate, take on a skeletal appearance, and when somebody boarded the ship, the virus would spread. A fresh outbreak of skeletals will be much like any conventional zombie attack, like anything you see in any film or any game. The virus is transmitted through bodily fluids, and there will be much biting and moaning and lots of dying. However, if the outbreak endures, more and more victims will reach the skeletal stage, which will happen in between 6 to 8 weeks. In this way, an isolated outbreak would likely make it possible for someone passing through to encounter nothing but the skeletal form of these zombies. Skeletals feel no pain, and as such they are not limited by discomfort, and they have a brute strength which is greater than the average human. Any part of their body which is still connected to the brain or spine will continue to function, and will follow the primary urge to eat. However, if you detach parts from the body, they cease to function. So no skeletal hands wandering around the place, I'm afraid. In terms of senses, the skeletals go slowly blind as the flesh becomes translucent. This means they eventually start to rely on their other senses. This is an exploitable weakness, as it's comparatively easy to trick skeletals into fighting amongst themselves. And when they start, they pretty much won't stop until the fight is over, i.e. all but one or two are dead. Skeletals tend to fight tooth and hand, although after a few weeks they will become primitive tool users as well, and have been seen to become more deadly with weapons as time passes. They're not especially quick or really that clever, but when it comes down to it, 10 skeletals with rocks or planks of wood can be pretty deadly. Skeletals can be dispatched through massive body damage, dismemberment, or by the classic remove the head or destroy the brain technique. Bizarrely, malaria is especially lethal. For some reason, these reanimated bodies cannot tolerate the malaria virus, and it will put any bodies down within 2 days. The body's translucent flesh is not unlike that of a jellyfish, and usually feels moist and clammy. Up close, human features and some internal organs can often be seen vaguely, but if you're staying around long enough to make out that kind of detail, then odds are you're going to be dead pretty soon. Although rare, there have been examples of the virus mutating and infecting bitten animals. Skeletal zombie monkeys could be an unfortunate side effect. Also, in a nod to Larry Niven's Dream Park books, it's not impossible for the virus to be carried amongst other cannibal diseases. For example, the laughing sickness known as Kuru. A laughing skeletal horde under a full moon, I think, would probably put the willies up almost any investigator. If you're playing anything that's got sanity rules, then that's going to really screw your characters over. So, if you want a zombie that's a little different for your game, or you actually just want to put skeletons in your game at some point, you could give these guys and gals a go. Skeletals.
And a grunt.
Okay, well, that's about all we've got time for on this episode of Project Shadow. Thank you for listening in. If you want to get some feedback to us, there's a couple of ways to do it. You can nip across to our forums, which are available off our website on www.projectshadow.com. If you would rather send us an email, that's now possible. We have our own email address, courtesy of my good friend Gav at Team Zombie. So you can now contact us at projectshadow@teamzombie.com, which is very cool of Gav to help me out until I decide what I'm doing with regards to domain names. So thanks for that, Gav. Now, as you may know, Project Shadow is pretty much running on a trial at the moment. My plan was to do 6 full episodes and see how it goes. At the moment, this episode means we're halfway through that. The numbers are looking pretty good at the moment, so odds are, once this is finished, I will carry on. But I would really like a little bit of feedback from people to see what people think, anything you think might work well in the show. Just drop me a line, get in touch, it'd be very nice to hear from people. Anyway, so with all this zombie goodness coming to a close, I think it's time to go. But before we go, as usual, I'm going to play a piece of music. Now, last week I had an eminently suitable band providing some music, Zombina and the Skeletons, which some of you may remember. I was tempted to play some more of their stuff this week. You know, Zombies, Zombina might work quite well. Instead, I found something else, something that is a bit of fun and perfectly on topic. If you haven't heard of Jonathan Coulton before, I'd recommend you go to his website, www.jonathancoulton.com. He has some excellent songs out there. I intend to play one or two more on this podcast in the future. But for now, to celebrate ZombieFon 2007, here is Jonathan Coulton with Re Your Brains. I'm Kevin. This is Project Shadow. Goodbye.
Hey, Tom, it's Bob from the office down the hall. It's good to see you, buddy. How have you been? Things have been okay for me, except that I'm a zombie now. I really wish you'd let us in. I think I speak for all of us when I say I understand why you folks might hesitate to submit to our demand. But here's an FYI, you're all gonna die screaming.
All we wanna do is eat your brains.
We're not unreasonable, I mean no one's gonna eat your eyes. If you open up the door, we'll all come inside and eat your brain. I don't want to nitpick, Tom, but is this really your plan? Spend your whole life locked inside a mall. Maybe that's okay for now, but someday you'll be out. And you'll have to make the call. I'm not surprised to see you haven't thought it through enough. You never had the head for all that bigger picture stuff. But Tom, that's what I do, and I plan on eating you slowly.
All we wanna do is eat your brains.
We're not unreasonable, I mean your eyes.
All we wanna do is eat your brains.
We're at an impasse here, maybe we should compromise. If you open up the door, we'll all come inside and eat your brains. I'd like to help you, Tom, in any way I can. I sure Tom, well, technically I am. I guess I ground somehow. Meanwhile, I'll report back to my colleagues who were chewing on the doors. I guess we'll table this for now. I'm glad to see you take constructive criticism well. Thank you for your time. I know we're all busy as hell. And we'll put this thing to bed when I bash your head open.
All we wanna do is eat your brains.
We're not unreasonable, I I mean, no one's gonna eat your eyes.
All we wanna do is eat your brains.
We're at an impasse here. Maybe we should compromise.